Every first Sunday of the month is what we call Prophecy Sunday. And we peer and ask God's help and wait upon the Lord for what He reveals that is coming up throughout the whole year. And which is also one reason why we always fast at the beginning of the year and prepare ourselves for all that is coming out in the new year. And even though Brother Towson was not here in the first service, but you said two words. One is waiting on the Lord, and the other was the word breakthrough. And this year is indeed a year of change and breakthrough. And as we look at this, sometimes people ask, does the Lord really show these things? Many people forget why the Holy Spirit came. The Holy Spirit has come to the church, and the church should be the first to know everything that's going to happen. And so does every believer. So in the book of John chapter 16, it says here, in verse 13, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will tell you things to come. You have that verse there. He will tell you things to come. And how much more important it is that the people of God on the planet Earth should be the first to know the news of what God is about to do. And thus it is, I believe, the responsibility of every church and every leader, people whom they guide, to wait upon God and ask God about things to come. Especially it's our responsibility to prepare the body, to warn the body, to exhort the body, to encourage the body of Christ. And of course, what one can see of things to come depends also on where God has put you in and your responsibility in the body of Christ or your calling in God. And if you're calling is international, then God will show you things that happen internationally because they're going to impact on your life, your ministry, and the people whom you're ministering to. If your calling is to the local body, then God will show you things to come in the local body because that is your responsibility, and that's the area that you need to be prepared on what is to come. And so this applies to every one of us, even some of you in the professional world, and you're just happy as you are, you go to work, you're faithful, you have close friends, you witness a little bit here and there, as the Lord leads you, you're led by the Spirit, you're faithful as a Christian, and then you go back home to your work every day, and between your home and your work is your main place. Even God will show you, if you wait on the Lord, things that are going to happen within your own company. We have not because we ask not. And so whatever God shows is not because, you know, we are more important than another. It's just what I would view as a responsibility to prepare the body of Christ. And so in that sense, it is more because of the grace of God. Sometimes what you can see is based on what you're working at. If you're working on the rooftop, of course, you've got to be aware of what's happening in the world, in the weather, and around you, because then you got a better view. If you're working in one of the rooms in the house, in the cellar, then you probably see everything that is in the room. And remember that not everybody sees everything. Everybody sees the portion that is involved in whatever God wants you to see. So I encourage you, take this verse in John 16, verse 13, and ask God for specific details about things that are happening in your world, in your working life. And God will reveal if you ask it. He might not reveal on the spot, but He will reveal. He will show you things to come so that we're not caught by surprise. And so this is part two of what we have been sharing. And for those of you who want the more detailed version, you can take this morning's sermon, which is part one. But we will give you the summarized version, then we want to go into what I call the application area. And basically, this is the vision for the year 2012. There's a vision of an eagle, a bear, a dragon, and a beast. The eagle was flying in the sky, high and mighty, but it was shot in a net, in the neck, from within its own borders. The bear raged, angry bear, and was angry at the beast, and it turned against it. Meanwhile, a dragon flew in the skies and dominated the skies. The eagle could still walk even when it was injured in the neck, but with great struggle. The bear struck at the beast and inflicted 3 large gashes. The beast was like a mixture of all animals. It had spots like a leopard, feathers, claws like a bird, and thick mane like a lion. It had 2 wings, but they looked small and seemed to be growing. The beast was pushed southwards, but retained its dominion. The dragon was watching the fight between the bear and the beast, and the tail of the beast knocked down the dragon to the ground. The dragon had to land on the ground for some time to recover its strength, but it too retained its dominion. Then the vision changed to people. Towards the west, saw people with guns gathering like a protest, and on one of the banners was the word freedom. Voice heard saying, there will be freedom, but much unrest. Toward the east, a lot of confusion and dust, like people were in a panic. Voice heard saying, there will be prosperity, but much malice. Toward the south, saw large people movements lining up to travel, some like refugees, some like tourists, some like business people. Voice heard saying, there will be changes, but the ride is rough. Towards the north, a people gripped by great fear and seemed struck, paralyzed by something. Voice heard saying, there will be threats of war, but peace will be pursued for its worth. And these are prophecies given in words. The earth shakes and trembles, a sign in the western heavens, an upturn in the southern seas, an eruption in the northern lands shall all point to the year of change and breakthrough. Much will change, but will herald a new beginning of mankind living in harmony with each other and the earth, of nations being humble and being exalted, of the powerful and rich dying, of the poor rising and living. Many new find fresh faith in the midst of great fear. These are the scriptures given, fourth section of the prophecy. Of the nations of the world, in the Middle East, Isaiah chapter 17, 18 and 19 was given. In America, Isaiah chapter 21. In Europe, Ezekiel 37 to 38. In Asia, Judges 9, verse 7 to 15, which is the parable of Jotham. Isaiah chapter 20. Of personal areas, the Lord says these are important for personal life. Joshua 1, verse 8, Psalm chapter 1, the whole chapter, which talks about meditation. And 2 Samuel 5, 17 to 25, which talks about David's breakthrough that he had against the Philistines after he was made king over the whole of Israel and Jerusalem was his capital. This year is built upon last year. Last year was a year of conflict, year of establishment in the midst of conflict where the bold go for. This year, you're established, but the Lord wants you to break through. Just like King David has established himself in Jerusalem, and he still got a lot of enemies around, and he has to break through. Basically, the eagle speaks about America, the bear speaks about Russia, dragon, China, and the beast, Europe. And so all these details talk about there is a grounding that is taking place, as we all see in Europe, and there's something that will take place between Russia and Europe, whatever it is. The bear was angry. It was not a singing bear or dancing bear. It was an angry bear. And the bear got, and 3 gashes that were there. I'm not sure whether bear actually has 3 claws, but saw 3 gashes that were there. And that is the vision as it is. And then there's the interpretation, which is a separate part from the vision. And as you know, in Daniel chapter 8, Daniel was given a vision of the ram and then the goat. And then Gabriel was asked to interpret the vision for him. So sometimes God gave part of the interpretation, but there were parts of the interpretation that were sealed to Daniel. And because they apply to a future time, even in our future, because the second part in Acts chapter, in Daniel chapter 8 of the vision referred to the Antichrist, which is even in our future, hasn't come to pass yet. And so sometimes God gives part of the interpretation, and then the other parts you pray, you seek the Lord, interpretation comes along the way, and the vision as it is. And I'm thinking about the bear gashing the beast. It could mean, you know, one strike but 3 areas,
it could mean three different stripes. Can you see how much the interpretation can waver? And don't ask me why God always show things like that. He always show things in allegory. And so that's the way God does things. So it's for us to pursue, to seek. But in spite of all the grounding, so it tells us that something's going to happen in Europe, some things are definitely going to happen in China. And whatever happens in Europe, Russia seems to be involved. And the grounding of the dragon, the grounding of the eagle, so we see there's a grounding coming. It's like the whole world is in a car going chugger, 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 chugger. The brakes are pressed. Or like the train that is moving. For a moment, the train has to take its break and be grounded for a while before it moves forward. And whatever is causing this grounding, there are much that we can look into in the visions of all the people, which we have covered in the first service in detail. We put all these things on the blog too. And the part that God seems to show that I find interesting was the book of Judges chapter 9, verse 7 to 15. That applies to Asia, but in general, it was fascinating to me because it was a new way to look at the nations of the world, which I, up to this prophecy, I never look at it that way. In the book of Judges, which is a scripture that applied to the Asian area particularly, in the book of Judges chapter 9, verse 7 to 15, you see there a parable. It's called the parable of the tree. In the context, it is in regard to Abimelech, Jotham, and all that is happening among the sons of Gideon. Gideon died, and he left about 70-odd children. And among the 70 sons, Abimelech, one of the sons, rose up and killed every single son except Jotham. As Jotham was running away, fleeing, he stood on the hill and he spoke this parable against Abimelech, and in a way inferring that Abimelech was a bramble bush. And all the other trees are like bramble bush too. They are wild, lawless people who gather around Abimelech, and he predict about the infighting that's going to take place. And trees has always also represented nations to a certain extent. Remember the fig tree and Jesus? The fig tree represents Israel. And then Nebuchadnezzar, his empire, and he as a person was pictured as a tree in which all the birds of the air gather. And because he was proud, the tree was chopped down for a time. And so trees thus, in a biblical way, represent nations. And here, there is what I call an allegorical representation of some things happening. And olive tree nations are trees. Olive represent the Holy Spirit and the anointing of God. So there are nations that have a destiny and an anointing somewhere in God's end time. They find their place. Kings of the East is in the book of Revelation. Egypt is in the Bible. It's there in the beginning of time. It's there in the end times. And there is Assyria and Syria. And there is what I call Gog and Magog. And all the Roman Empire. All these things still picture in the end times. So there are nations that are predestined or have a predestined path in the end times out of God's appointed time, like the olive tree. And they each has their own function and purpose. And fig tree represents nations that have a relationship to Israel. Israel is a fig tree. And a nation like Singapore will represent a fig tree nation because of your relationship, close integrated relationship with Israel. Australia will be a fig tree nation because it has a good rapport with Israel, so that the United States. But things can change. And so the United States will be an olive tree nation. It has its destiny in God. And then it is a fig tree nation. And then the vine is more like a curling plant. It speaks about grapes. The vine always speaks about Christianity. Jesus says in John 15, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Vine nations are nations where the gospel has reached critical mass, or the nation has a destiny for the gospel to be carried out throughout all the world. England was a vine nation and the bulwark of Christianity in the 19th century. America United States was a vine nation in the 20th century, and of course it seeks to continue to do that role, except that sadly humanism has taken over, materialism has taken over, and so they're moving away, sadly, the main thrust of it, away from the gospel and atheism, and all this is taking over, although the Christians are praying and doing their best there, wonderful Christians there too. And so a nation can be a vine nation. Australia has its destiny also as the south land of the Holy Spirit. It hasn't come to its fullness yet, and it is not a vine nation yet because Christianity is not at its critical mass yet. And there are missionaries that go out, but not as much as from other nations. Singapore is one of those vine nations. And South Korea is a vine nation. Christianity has reached critical mass. There are some nations in Africa, which I didn't get to touch upon in the first service, they are actually vine nations too. And Christianity has reached a critical mass population, and whatever happens, they will be among the vine nations that will be protected. And they will, in spite of all these things happening, their economy will continue. They will continue to prosper as a nation. They will seem to be slightly affected, but completely coming out of whatever things that affect things that happen in the world, whether America or Europe. And that is for the sake of Christianity, for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of His people and the gospel. God preserve the nation so that the gospel can continue to come forth from the nation and be a lighthouse to the rest of the world. Those are vine nations. And that continued to be. And then, so the nations of the world, and there's some way to look at them in a different manner, to see what will happen when, if you ask a question, okay, and you're hearing this message from one of the nations in the world that we didn't mention here, and you're wondering, okay, where, how will it affect your nation? There are 100 over nations in the world. And, well, ask yourself the question, does your nation have a place in mentioned in the Bible, in its destiny end times? If not, it's not an olive tree nation. Then you can ask the second question, does your nation have a, what relationship, what benefit has your nation to the nation of Israel, its relationship? Is it a fig nation? If it's not. And then third question, does your nation have a critical mass of Christianity? I know some South American countries have. So they would have they will be a vine nation or potential vine nation that God will continue to use. And I know in South America, you have one of those countries where you have even right on the hill, you have a picture of Christ or a big statue of Christ. And so it tells you that that nation, at one point, it might be statue now, it might be nominal Christians now, they might have forgotten their roots, but it has a vine nation status that God wants to pursue. And we all know about the South American, how people turn into the Lord, etc. So they do have some wine nation status, which God will preserve for the sake of the gospel. Bramble bush nations. As you know, the bramble bush in this parable refer to Abimelech. Abimelech broke every law of God, killed his brothers, didn't honor his father Gideon, and was going out after power and glory, and of course, probably finances too and money too. Bramble bush nations are nations that are godless, lawless. I mean, they might have laws in a certain way, but a lot of lawlessness is in a nation, and all they're interested in is mammon and just the materialism and the things of this world. These nations will suffer to a certain extent. Fire comes out and destroy each other, and so these nations will be the most affected whatever is happening in this year throughout the world. Bramble bush nations. And then the scriptures that the Lord gave for personal application. They say, well, with all these things happening all throughout the world, what must we do? Because you're a believer, you never say, what must we do to be saved? And then we can tell you straight away, to be born again. But you're really saved, you're born again, and you're living on this earth. Say, what must we do? What can we do? Interestingly, the Lord gave these three passages. And this year, despite all that is happening, and to a certain extent, if you're in one of these four types of nations, then, and you do these things, this year will be a year of great change, but it will be a year of breakthroughs for you. And if you have been praying and waiting upon the Lord, waiting upon the Lord, waiting upon the Lord, and fruitless but faithful, this is your year of bearing fruit. If you have been sowing and sowing and sowing and never reaping, this is a year to reap. This is a year of great reaping. Surprising. So it is a year of breakthrough, shrouded with fear. Fear is all around, but you break through and you continue to advance in God. But it's interesting that the Lord gave these scriptures, and so I sought the Lord and said, Lord, why these scriptures? You know, these are things that we do in our normal Christian life. And the Lord says, do more! And why do more? In Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, let's read these scriptures, because this is our focus on application, our response to the prophecy. In Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, it says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. And Psalms 1 also talks about meditation. It tells us not to have the wrong fellowship at the first verses. And then it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of the sinners, nor sees the seed of the scornful. These are the bramble bush people. You got bramble bush nations, you got bramble bush people. So avoid this bramble bush. As you know, Abimelech was a bramble bush. And so avoid bramble bush people, because they're going to destroy you. They're going to pull you down. But verse 2 to 3. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. As I go on, I thought I better emphasize a little bit. See, the bramble bush, this number, first verse, talks about bramble bush people. How do you recognize the right type of people and the wrong type of people to grow close to you? As you know, we all got 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We all got 365 and a quarter days a month. We all don't have time to make friends with everyone. We all don't have time for everyone. All us are limited to the number of people we can spend time with, quality time. Of course, your home, your family, your loved ones are top priority. But after that, you do choose who you want to spend time with. You do choose who your friends are. And for those who this year, they keep choosing the bramble bush and people like Abimelech, then how do you recognize people like that? Well, they are always ungodly. And remember, when I talk about that, I include Christians too. Because they're Christians who do not walk with God, or who walk in darkness. Sadly, you know, some Christians do. And when we talk about good people, I also include non-Christians who are good. Yes, some like Cornelius, don't know yet God yet, but have a fear of God and a reverence for God. And they are good people. So those you can spend time with. And so the Bible more defines people by their fruit and not just by what they say. People may say something and do another thing. Don't trust. When you grow mature and in life, you learn one thing about people. Children don't do that. Children say what they do. But adults, unless they are trustworthy and honest with you, they say one thing, do another. And so these are what's happening. The ungodly and those who live in the path of sinners. Not just sinners, but in the way that sinners will do things. And then, thirdly, scornful. Seed of the scornful. Are you friends with people who scorn others? Look down on others? All they do is just, you know, scorn at everything that's happening. Those are not the people you want. They are bramble bush people. You want to go for, in verse 2, the law of the Lord. He says, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree. Here, a tree again. See, God wants us to be the right type of tree. Planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so. What will happen to the ungodly this year? They are like chaff which the wind drives away. This year the wind will come and drive them away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. In the judgment day, nor will they be able to stand. They will be condemned. Nor sinners in the congregations of the righteous. They cannot stand the righteousness. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. It doesn't mean that we are all perfect, but it does mean that we do love the Lord, we love righteousness, we want to live holy lives, we want to seek after God. But the ungodly, the way of the godly, they all will perish. This year you see a lot of that happening. And ask a lot, these two verses are talking about trees and it's talking about meditation. Why meditation? And this is the first reason why meditation. See, this is the year in which we receive. This is the year when you reap. This is the year when you bear fruit. But in order to receive, we are not going to receive with our carnal hand. It's not the size of your carnal hand that matters. It is the size of your spirit man. We will only be able to receive according to the capacity and inner strength of your inner man. If your inner man is strong, then and you can receive more. If your inner man is skinny and weak, even if God wants to give it to you this year, you've got no capacity to receive. Remember most of all the principle of God, that we receive in the spirit first before we receive in the natural. And the Bible talks about strengthening our inner man. See, we have to receive things in our inner man first. How did prosperity come? This year will be a year of great prosperity. Great prosperity. Good Chinese New Year message. And, what is it? Oh, Kong Hee Fa Choi, right? What does the word Kong Hee mean, by the way? Oh, blessings. Okay. And what's the Fa Choi is? Oh, congratulations. Oh, blessings. Okay. Fortune. Okay. Prosperity. The old translation is prosperity. And so this year, you know, good Chinese New Year message, oh, blessings, oh, more blessings. Of course, the Chinese look blessings is all dollar signs. And it will come to that. This is actually a year of prosperity. And since we all, you know, many Chinese the Chinese blessing. But any Vulcans here, this is your year to live long and prosper. And so it's also to prosper. And this year will indeed be a year of material prosperity, a year of breakthrough. But in order to do that, you must have the spiritual happen first. See, the spiritual must happen, then the natural. And this year is like God opening the windows of heaven and pouring it out. And we must be able to receive it spiritually, and then the natural will happen. Because in the law of God, in a full dimension of things happening on this earth, it is the presence of God and the increased presence of God that increase the outward prosperity. And your inner man is the container. Our inner man is a lamb of the Lord, is the light of God. And that inner man needs to be strengthened and fed. And when the presence of God could draw more, and the presence of God in our life will increase this year. This year is an increase in the presence of God. God wants to release. As you know, the world, the darker it grows, the brighter God gives. The strange thing happening in this world is this, that the darkness is growing darker. The other thing happening is the light is growing brighter too. So both are increasing until the line between light and darkness is thin. Where before it's a big shady area. But as the darkness increases and the light increases, the line between them becomes narrower and narrower until the decision day comes and God divides. And so God will increase His presence. God always is interested in increasing His presence. And the law of Ephesians chapter 3 tells us that our inner man must be strengthened for Christ's presence to dwell more in our lives. It says here in the book of Ephesians, a verse that you all know very well. I'll just read to you. Ephesians chapter 3 tells us that Paul says that he bowed his knees to our Father, Lord Jesus Christ, and he prayed in verse 16 that God will grant them according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. So the reason why God gives these verses of meditation is because if we are to receive more in the natural, we must increase our capacity this year. So if you have been meditating normally, good, double it, increase it. And that is why for this year, even in online prayer, we're going to allow some of you, and myself included, I'm going to take my meditation file, and then you can pray, and led by the Lord. And of course, if your burden of prayer is so great, you could pray right through. But in your most sleepy time, I know, when everyone is quiet, whatever, then you can meditate. Okay. Pull out your green meditation book, go to the corner with light or wherever, and meditate. And if you did the green booklet, it should take you half an hour. Fast reader, slow reader, 1 hour. Finish 15 minutes. So you confess God's word. It's not for your understanding. You're not analyzing the scripture. You're not studying the Bible. You're just reading it out loud, getting it into your spirit. And then if you're interested in more, then you get book 2. It covers spiritual and all kinds of blessing, just general area of blessing. Then that will take you 1 hour. Say, how do I know? It all came from my file. My file is very big, but I'm not going to bring the whole file, because if I bring my whole file, even start at 10 p.m, 6 a.m, still I haven't finished. And so I just get extract of my file, and just to do and build up my spirit even more. And while we are fasting, let your spirit man feast. Oh, let your spirit man meditate and feast. While your physical body, some of us, all we have is water. So you get hot water, cold water. Of course, hot water is recommended. And all water and water. So I might put a little bit of honey tonight. Some others are really enjoying your vegetarian fast. Or should I call it a feast? Right. So while some of you enjoying all your what do you have this morning? Wow, soon kway. And chili sauce, and then you have your gado gado, your whatever, all those things. Some of us, you know, our natural man is being trained and refined, but your spirit man, let there be a feast. So may you have a spiritual soon kway, spiritual roja, spiritual feast. And so let your spirit man feast. Feast on whatever. And if you came up with your own scriptures, you know, I had a meditation booklet to help you. But you have your own, bring your own. And then you confess. And you got your own goals or your thing, confess them too. Every Friday. Confess it for 52 times this year. And especially on that prayer. And as you confess it and you meditate, you will build your spirit man up for something that God is releasing this year. And increase. And whatever happens, it will just happen. See, the tree doesn't worry about how the fruit comes, when it comes. The tree just keep drawing in. And as you meditate, all you do is drawing in the nourishment of God in your spirit, man, expanding and expanding. So this year, our goal for you together, as we build you together, we're interested in God blessing you. We want to build you. So all night prayer is now also gymnastics for your spirit, man. Praise God. And not just natural man walking up and down to avoid sleeping. So all night prayer is also gymnastics. Some of you might go to the side, confess the scripture. Praise the Lord. And so now don't do it at the beginning when you're wow, wide awake and pray. You still need to pray. Still need to pray in tongues. Still need to pray in spirit. Still need to worship God. Still need to kneel down before God. Still need to pray and breakthrough and all this. But you add one more element. We might do different things the next year, but this year, we add an element where you confess the scripture. So if anyone comes in this coming all night prayer or the rest of this day all night, they say, hey, why everybody running around reading something? And they say, oh, I got nothing to read. Oh, here, you read this. Anyway, I'll read the Bible. Read the Bible out loud, whatever, you've got nothing to read. But there's a time, and do it when you're about to fall asleep. When you're most sleepy, when the snore is coming out the corner of your mouth. And that's when you just, you know, quickly read the word. And by the time you read the word, guaranteed, you'll find you're no more sleepy. You know, it's hard to fall asleep while you're reading. You know. And the Lord says, you know. So on. All right. So, well, it's up to you. So gymnastics added to all-night prayer. And that is your spirit man exercising. And the reason why God places these verses is somehow He wants us to expand our spirit man this year. And whatever you have is good, but not good enough. As you all know, if you put every single one of you on a physical exercise or training, and you'll join me, let's say once a week, 1 hour, 2 hours, at the end of the year, we'll be physically different. Right? We will develop muscles that you never have. So this year, praise the Lord, gym class for your spirit man. And your spirit man is going to train, meditate on the word. You've already done that, I know, in your home, and you meditate that. But when you do it corporately, there's a slightly different anointing too. And there's some new level of anointing that God says, this year is a year of reaping, this year is a year of harvest, and you need a strong spirit man in order to harvest. Because otherwise, the harvest is ripe. You cannot even pick up the sickle. You walk halfway to the harvest pingsan, boom. So the harvest is there. And all you get to eat is whatever your mouth can move. Your hand no strength to take. And so at the end of the year, you say, hey, I only got just enough. What happened? Well, you are so weak as your inner man that you could not take the harvest that God has. And remember, there's a time of reaping. There's a time when it ends. This is why we need to expand your spirit man as much as possible. Remember, what happened after the 7 years of prosperity in Egypt? 7 years of famine. And there is a time, these are the seasons of God. We are flowing with the seasons of God. This is a season of fruitfulness. And for that, we just need special training. And thus, God has revealed this meditation to just read the scriptures and meditate and read it out loud, feed your spirit man, Haggai type of meditation, speaking the word, and let you grow to be like a tree, like Psalm chapter 1, planted by the rivers of the water. You will not, it says, its leaves never wither. The world is going to see some withering. The world is going to see some grounding. The world is going to see some trouble. But your leaves do not wither. Not even one hair of your body shall drop without the Lord knowing it. He will protect the hair of your head. Don't talk about protecting your bank account and all the blessings and things God has for you. He will shield you and protect you. So do this. And if you didn't come for all-night prayer, and you couldn't come for all-night prayer, we understand, you know, whatever schedule that you have in your own life, do this in your own home. Meditate. So the message, very important that we get through to you, this is your year of change and breakthrough. And we have not only given you the prophecy, we tell you the method. We tell you what you should do more. Right? In some years, you could do different things more. But this is a year we need to meditate more. Increase it. Because you need those muscles, spiritual muscles, to receive God's spiritual blessing so that the natural will just bloom and overflow in your life. And then the breakthrough, 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 17 to 25. 2 Samuel chapter 5. And on this area of breakthrough, David has already been established as king over all Israel. And David, having conquered Jerusalem, and having all the kingdom united under him, now he fights all his enemies. The first among them, the Philistines. So the main people that are there, left over in the kingdom. In 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 17 to 25. Now when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David, and David heard of it and went down to the stronghold. The Philistines also went and deployed themselves in a valley of Rephaim. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand? Question mark, question mark. See, this question, some of you have been asking last year, the year before last year, and 2 years before last year, and years before. Shall I go up? Shall I do this? Now, if David had asked God this question 2 years ago, the Lord says, don't go up. If David had asked the question when he was freshly anointed king, God would say, not time for you yet. See, there's a time and a place. Because David was not ready, the people were not ready, circumstances were not ready yet. But now David says, shall I, Lord? Don't forget, the Philistines have been there, like for them, for donkey years. It's like established fact that they're there. And don't forget, the Philistines were whom David hid with when Saul was chasing him. Or he tried to hide with them. Or at least he had some treaty with one of them on the town of Ziklag. It's a Philistine territory. And in the end, it was given to David. And traditionally, it has remained with David's hand. But if David asked the question, shall I go up? The Lord will say no. Unless the Lord gives you the victory, you don't have a victory. See, unless the Lord tells you something is yours, it's not yours. It comes to buying and selling. And you thought that, you know, oh, everyone go and buy the Lotto, the Toto, and then you strike. If it's not yours, you'll never. But if it's yours, then it's yours. If it belongs to someone, it belongs to someone. See, money is just money there. Wherever it is, placed in unrighteous hands, placed in the righteous hand, which in the end will move all to the righteous hands, of course, in the end, as God is in control of all the silver and gold in the world. But money is just out there, and it doesn't belong to you, it doesn't belong to you. You can throw a fit, you can throw a seizure, you can scold God, you can mourn, you can, and if it's not yours, it's not yours. But if it's yours, you need to know how to get it too. If it belongs to you, and if the prosperity belongs to you, it's yours. The same way, you know, sometimes you think, wow, I want to do things very hard. No. It's hard because you make it hard. It's hard because you're not like a tree. Has anyone gone to a tree and heard a tree struggling? You go near a tree, you know, by the highway, a lot of trees, they all plant here. And the tree say, ayo, ayo, ayo. You know, tree struggling, ayo, the root cannot go, ayo, ayo. You know, it just keep growing. Sometimes it even knock on concrete now. And, cause it's just growing in God. In the same way, we struggle because it's our own strength. Didn't the Bible say when we are weak, then we are strong? 2 Corinthians 12. So how can that be? See, when we are physically weak, then are we strong spiritually? Because sometimes when we are physically too relying on ourselves physically, we are actually weak spiritually. And so during this 40-day fast, in Asian you fast in your own way, some of you might feel physically weak. And remember this, your first week of the fast could be the hardest. You get through the first week, second week is easier. Remember 40-day fast? Don't think of it as, wow, 40-day. Now only number one, 39 to go. No, think in terms of just 6 Sundays. Praise the Lord, 6 Sundays. It's, you know, it would be good if I could put you in a cybernetics thing and freeze you for 40 days and take you out. Oh, fast so easy. Time could freeze for you, or you just sleep for 40 days. Wow, then you wake up, wow. You know, your rap ran wrinkle. And of course he slept longer. But he said, wow, fast over. So good, right? And it's just 6 weeks, 6 Sundays. 6 sermons, gone already. And so that's it. And so you know, just get through the week. And then the next week, you get a boost on Sunday. Right, you're gonna boost you up, right? As you come in, you know, people pray for you. You come in, you get the word, chop, 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 chop. Then you worship, oh, and you go, wow, all charged for another week. So just 6 weeks. And during the fast, your physical body might feel weak, but you'll find your inner man growing stronger and stronger in the Lord. And the battle is not ours, it is the Lord. And when we rely on the Lord, and when something belongs to you in its fullness of time, it will just drop on your lap. Provided you're in the right place at the right time doing the right thing. Which is where meditation places you. Be still and know that I am God. And in that sense, meditation is the last place you think of doing battle. But there's a place you're just drawing yourself into God. And then when you ask the Lord, Lord, shall I go out and do this? Will you deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said to David, go up. For I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into your hand. And that was the day the Philistines were routed. They had been there all through the book of Judges. They could never be removed. But under David, they were all routed. So David went to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there. And he said, the Lord has broken through my enemies before me, like a breakthrough of water, like a dam bursting and breaking through the dam, coming forth. Therefore he called the place Baal Perazim, which literally means master of breakthroughs. So it's not just breakthroughs. Some of you receive little breakthroughs all through the past year and the years before. But this is no ordinary breakthrough. This is the mother of all breakthroughs. The master of all breakthroughs. This breakthrough set you for life. This year will set you for life. Well, those are important words. If you know, and you are told by an angel, and sent by God appear to you and say, son of man, whatever you do this year will determine the rest of your life, how seriously will you take it? Very serious. This year will determine where every one of you are going to be the next few decades. Your choices, your decisions, whatever you're going to be, this year you are doing what you need to do for 30 years. That's an important year. Now suddenly every one of you want to fast 40 days. Thank you very much for joining. There goes your siu kuei. Chui kuei, whatever kuei you call it. Anyway, I'm just teasing you. No? Just fast in your own way. But suddenly you're more serious. And it is. It is a more serious year than you think. This is not just an ordinary year, my friends. This is the year where a wave is coming. That wave, if you get on it, will take you for the next 30 years. Wow, got a wave coming. Now, from three, we talk about surfing. Of course, you're like David, you enjoy it. He loves the jungle. The only thing he needs is a Hawaiian skirt. With a Hawaiian tune. Aloha. And so, this is the year where you get on your surfboard. And you see that wave that is coming, most waves just last a while. But this year is a big wave. Angels are working very hard. Preparing this wave. And you know how hard it takes for angels to work? Sometimes they work for 10 years to produce something. The angels that worked so hard to put David in that position. From the day he was anointed, he was supposed to be king. He was chased out like a vagabond. He almost became more and more popular. He needed for popularity to be king. But chased out so often. This is the year when everything changed. Oh, important year. Praise the Lord. And now, when you know, if you knew that these next 40 days, plus the rest of the year, of course, but starting these 40 days, is where you begin to set the momentum for the rest of this year, and whatever you do this year, whatever momentum you set this year, whatever you get this year, is going to last you for the next three decades. what would you do? Oh, you pay any price. You see, can I ask someone and pay someone to fast for me and meditate for me? Whoa, this is a Singaporean, right? Sorry, no. The person you pay to fast, all your blessings go to that person. You won't have to do it yourself. Get into that place. Because this year, there is a mighty wave coming. Mighty wave of blessing. Unfortunately, those who are not prepared will not get in the wave. The wave will just pass by them. And this same wave we're going to kill some people. Why? Not positioned properly. If you're out in the ocean, the wave is coming, you position yourself, you got your surfboard ready, and you've been training for that moment, and you are different from people. This is a year the world is predicting disaster. Every prophecy you hear of this 2012 is a horrible prophecy. It's a doomsday prophecy. They make movies that this year is going to end. But it's not. It is just a big wave. But while people see the dark cloud, we see the silver lining. But people say it's dark and stormy. You say, wow, more rain. More rain coming. And while people see the dangerous waves, what do surfers do? They swim to the wave. The world runs. Ah! The surfer swims to the wave. Why? He wants to catch the wave. He wants to catch the wave. He wants to ride on the wave. And if you could get on the wave, and you know surfing is not easy. Easier than it looks. Because there's so many things going on. Number one, you need to be able to balance. Then on top of that, you got to be balanced on a moving wave. So most people balance also cannot balance. And so it looks easy, but it's not. But the Lord spirit man in you will strengthen your spirit man to enable you to do so. And your spirit man will have a natural ability to go to the waves, right on the waves. And if you could get on the wave, not everybody is going to get on the wave. So this year might not be a benefit to everyone. This year might not be a breakthrough for everyone. Why? Failure to serve. Failure to prepare. Failure to expand their spirit. Failure to go near to that which God asked them to do so. But if you obey God and you go near to this wave, and you manage to get onto the wave, and you ride the waves, it will carry you for the next 30 years. This is a very important year. You get it right, you got critical mass for 30 years. It's a powerful time to be in. It's an opportune time. And when God releases greater energy, this is here to take it. Not only is it in the spiritual realm, in the astral realm, you could see all the fear of the people actually causing them to lose things that will have to go somewhere. Because their fear will rob them of the blessings and will have to go somewhere. And it always does. So David not only has a breakthrough, this is the master of his breakthrough. And when it comes to fighting, David has never lost a battle. Never lost a battle. This is his beginning. Of him taking his position as the king over all Israel. And fighting on the behalf of God. And this is the master of his breakthrough. It says here in verse 21, they left their images there, and David and his men carried them all away. Then the Philistines went up once again and deployed themselves in the valley. See, sometimes when God gives a scripture that ties to a local prophecy, an allegorical prophecy, some of the elements or the phrases got a lot of meaning. In verse 21, a lot of people are going to leave their posts and leave their place. But it's going to be an opportune time for you. So David, he took all of them, took everything that all the people left behind. See, when he broke through, the enemy fled like cockroaches and like mice. He left everything behind. David collected everything. Of course, he dedicated it unto the Lord, as we all know. Then the Philistines went up once again. They tried a second time. Deployed themselves in the valley of Rephaim. Then David asked the Lord and said, he inquired the Lord, and the Lord said, "You shall not go up. Circle around them. Come upon them in front of the mulberry tree." And do you notice that every scripture God gave got trees inside? So you got olive tree, fig tree, vine, bramble bush. Now you got mulberry trees. And those of you who know, they are very good for silkworms. The little tiny little fellows and caterpillar-like creatures eating mulberry. You say, "Hey, but we are not a worm." What does this mulberry tree represent? So all of us can be the fig tree, the olive tree, the vine. And in this year, God blow upon the mulberry trees. And look at what the Lord says in verse 24. "It shall be when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, you shall at once quickly. For then the Lord will go out before you, strike the camp of the Philistines." Wow, timing very crucial. This is like surfing. And he says, don't go the way you did before. So it looks like this year, you're going to have a two-strike breakthrough. You're going to have a first one that gives you the skill. And then in the second one, if you succeed in the first one, then you got the second one. You fail in the first one, no more second one. You get into the first one, which you can get through meditation. See, meditation is the first. See, now you begin to see why we ask to meditate, to expand your spirit. But another second reason for meditation. When your inner man is strong, you can hear the sounds above the mulberry tree. Because many people cannot hear it. Did the Philistines hear it? No. But it's not ordinary sound. It's the sound of angels marching, God's army. It's not the sound of wind. It's not a natural sound. Because you say, David, God says, "I'm going to open your ears and you're going to hear my angels marching." Doesn't matter, you cannot see them. You're going to hear them. And he says, when you hear the sound, you must go march with my angels. Aha. That applies especially for you. When you hear the sound, then you will know where to go. The mulberry tree this year. And as you hear it and you position yourself, and all of us, your angels are working powerfully this year. Why do you think of all the years God sent to join our church, a man who sees angels? Have you think about the coincidences? Everything has a place. This is planned way before we were born. Predestination has no coincidence. Because this year, this is to encourage you to open yourself to angelic ministry. And in this year, as we cooperate with angels in a way we have never done before. Because all the breakthroughs come with angels. And we are working with angels in a way we have never worked before. That is why all of us do gymnastics. Back to your training. Your all-night prayer. Why 1 year you've been praying all night here? Right? It was about a year. Your first all-night prayer was just training you to be able to do it. Because some of you haven't joined before, you can still get in before it gets too late. So for you, you might have to pray Friday night and Saturday night. Okay, stop. No. Okay, just pulling your leg. And so last year you could pray, you learned to pray. this year you're going to pray with greater stamina. And on top of that, we're training your spirit, man, so that you could hear the voice of the angels marching above you. Only you will hear and no one else. You will hear particularly the direction in your life. And as you hear it, you go forward, it seals your breakthrough, and you got it done this year. So this year, you got a mission. Your mission, grow fat, grow fast. Say, oh no, fat in the right way. Grow strong. Spirit man, you know. The only thing I use the phrase is, Bible like to use the word, you know, and you shall be fat, or whatever. And so grow strong in the spirit, and then move fast as the spirit leads you. And there will be a window open for you where it's just nice for you. You go in, you catch all the blessings. Because it is battle time. And if you go in at the right time, at the opportune time, if that property is meant for you, it's yours. You miss it by 5 minutes, gone. If that $10 million is meant for you, it's yours. Now, you're not going to try, you know, by hook and by crook to get it. Because by hook is wrong, by crook also wrong. You're talking about wrong crooks. First of all, you're not a crook. And you're not crooked. You're lawful. We're talking about walking into it. And when it's yours, you just do whatever the Lord tells you. And you go in, it's yours. And David had a reasonably easy time with the angels marching above him. When he go forward, the people are really running. It's easy to fight with people who are running away from you. Why are you poking them in the back? Angels have already gone and do their part. This is your year to do so. Because there will be sometime this year the sound of marching for you to go forward. Then you go forward. And you will have the biggest breakthrough you ever had in your entire life. This year will make up for all your years of waiting, all your years of weeping, all your years of toil. This year, the Lord will make it for you. It is your year of breakthrough. So the mulberry trees is only positioned for you if you get the first master of breakthrough. So you all already, from last year, you already got your bachelor's and your degree. Now you get your master's. Master's of breakthrough. Then you get your PhD, the mulberry tree. God brings you to the next step. And God will be able to do a mighty work in your life that secure you for the rest of your 30 years. For the rest of your life. Because there were some more things coming. Last and final point. The Bible has a pattern. Where the blessings of God come on God's people in a time when it's dark out there. Proof number one, the Exodus. While it was darkness in Egypt, while they were destroyed utterly, while their economy was ruined, I mean, if they were agricultural economy, the locusts had ruined it. If they were herdsmen economy, the hailstones have already killed all the animals. While everything was ruined, God told the Israelites, go and get all the gold and I'll take you out. So that is the first proof, number one. While all is in fear, it was the biggest, isn't the Exodus the biggest breakthrough the Israelites received. As they walk out of the land of slavery that has bounded them for hundreds of years, they walk out with their heads held high. Gold in every pocket they have. Tie up to every bandwagon they have. They walk out of poverty. They walk out of oppression. They walk out with God leading them. It was bright for them, but it was dark for everyone else. Proof number two. Psalms 23. In the presence of your enemies, He prepares a table for you. See, what a time for God to prepare a table. Psalms 23, why didn't He prepare a table when I'm up in a pasture land? When I'm beside still waters? Instead, it says, in the presence of my enemies, He prepared a table. None of us would like that kind of atmosphere, because who wants to eat a feast where your enemies looking at you? Because all the enemies of God out there are being routed so that great change can come, where this is an exchange, where Pharaoh becomes poor and the Israelites became rich. Where the world is being shaken, the light and the people of light in God are being strengthened. For them is the biggest breakthrough. So God is preparing this year a table for you and I in the presence of all your enemies. Now that's alright. If they want to see you feast, so be it. You could take the big turkey drumstick. Your enemy, of course your enemy should not be human beings, your enemy should be the demon. Right. All the things routed, taken away from them, all the authority reduced to zero, and you are there with all the blessings of God. That's Psalms 23 blessing. The Lord is your shepherd. You will not want. At the beginning, look like no enemies. First ending, wow, enemies there. And then the Lord says, you will dwell in the house of the Lord. And surely, surely, goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. See, this sets you up for the rest of your life. For the rest of your life. And remember how I talk about history. And I talk about how sometimes at critical points in history, where the nations of the world could either go left or go right. There are critical points in history. And there are some little points in history where things could have gone the other way around. If the Germans had been victorious and the Japanese had been victorious, today we all be speaking Germans and Japanese. But God turned it the other way. Here we are speaking English, the allied language. God will turn it the other way around. So sometimes a critical decision, very critical, that is made. Sometimes it's like the Korean War. You read about Korean War. North Korea started it first. And incidentally, the last, you know, black Mercedes, that the last year prophecy, that's the one. And of course, you know, God only showed me the Mercedes. He didn't show me the black Lincoln, it was all in the front. Because if you show me the black Lincoln, I would see the flag there. But show Mercedes, I don't know where, who, what. And I knew that it was somebody important. And somehow, whatever happens there, although they don't look important to the whole world economy, but it's important in the scheme of God in some way. During the Korean War, North Korea invaded South Korea first. They almost conquered the whole place. Because it's a very small geographical area. And if you read the story, they have to fight back. Without the US, Korea will be one Korea but all communists. But the US hell, put their troops, and you read the battle story strategy was very interesting. They had to think of a way to get the troops into what I call an important place first. Then they got to fight their way out. And then when they fight with all their aircraft, and there are many areas happening, even technology. For the first time, they see aircraft that they never seen before, because they thought, you know, the Russia was behind. But suddenly, they got these new aircraft that were bombing them. The U.S. had to quickly make new aircraft to fight against these jet planes now. They are no more like World War II, you know, little propeller. These are jet planes now. And in the end, they fought and with the aircraft covering them, and they actually almost conquered all of North Korea. Then China got in and pushed them back to square one. As if they never started the war. Because it was not meant to be yet. It's still there. And by the way, another prophecy, one day the two Koreas will unite. 100%. It just went. It's not whether, it is when. And it will move in that direction. And but in the meantime, what is not meant to be cannot be. The North tried to conquer all the South. It looks like it's done. Couldn't push back all the way. The South looks like, wow, we united Korea under the Americans. Democratic Korea. No, push back to square one. Because some things are not meant to be under its fullness of time. Although a lot of people suffering, a lot of those things happening, we realize that everything has its place. And this year, some lines are changing. See, when it's not time to do something, when it's not time for history to change, national boundaries to change, it will not happen no matter how you try. It will be like the Korean War. Zoom, zoom, zoom. Same thing. Back to square one. Same line. Some small, slight differences, that's all. But it's meant for some things to change. It will change even if you resist it. This year, a lot of changes are going to take place. Spiritual boundaries, many boundaries are falling. When it was time for East and West Germany to be united, nothing in the world could have stopped it. And the impact was so great, they went all the way through. All the people cannot see, but spiritually it went all the way through under the collapse of the Soviet Union. All from the same impact that flowed through. It's important for us to understand that in history, there are critical moments when the free will of man, they take the right way and the right initiative, could change the destiny of the next, sometimes hundreds of years. Some small thing, but it became so big. Some small thing, Henry the VIII. Of course, we don't condone his actions. Wanted to remarry. The Catholic Church says, no, no way. He says, then I don't want to be Catholic. And suddenly a whole denomination is formed. Out of something simple like someone just wanting someone else. But critical points of history. And it could have gone anyway. And you think about it, many things in history could have gone any other way. This year, 2012, is a critical point in history. A critical point of where you and I choose to be in history. It is also that manner in your city, in your nation. Critical point. Where you position yourself, where you place yourself, which is why fasting and prayer is good. Meditation is good. And while all these things are happening around us, You position yourself in God and you become the mulberry tree, and you march along the mulberry trees into what God wants you. And you do not fear, because in a time of great unrest in Egypt, everyone is famished and destroyed. God brought Israel into the beginning of their year and the beginning of a new nation. We are in 2012, in chronological way, like the Exodus about to take place. And for the Exodus to take place, God has to increase His presence. Never before have the Israelites seen a pillar of fire come and lead them. That pillar of fire was missing. For the hundreds of years they were slaves. They were crying to Yahweh God. Pillar of fire never appeared. God sent His man first. Quite an unwilling man actually, Moses. He was 40 years too fast, so God sent him to the wilderness. When it's time He called him, now he doesn't want to go now. God gave him good scolding, and then in the end he obeyed. And he was there to tell the people, it is time. Finally, after hundreds of prayer, hundreds of lives lost, thousands of lives lost, great pain and torment, where the Exodus chapter 1 says, their cry went out to God. Think about how much prayer intercession. Finally, it was time. And God sent their men to say, it is time. These are the signs of God. And among the signs of God, in the end, with all the different templates, God sent the pillar of cloud. Can you imagine? On that day they were marching up, the presence of God showed up. And the pillar of cloud appeared. And they followed the pillar of cloud. That pillar of cloud was with them. Supposed to be with them 1 year, but delayed 40 years because of them. In the end, when they entered the promised land, when Joshua entered the promised land, no more pillar of cloud. He only had the ark. Only the ark. Because there was a time when they need the pillar of cloud. This is the year where the pillar of cloud comes to lead your life. The marching above the mulberry trees, where you got ready and you march out. You march out with the Lord. And in the presence of your enemies, who are actually behind you? Pharaoh was chasing them on his chariot. Oh, the enemy doesn't want to let go. In the presence of your enemies, you cross the Red Sea. The enemies try to chase you, finally destroy. This is the year God destroys all your enemies. Every opposition, and if you wait upon the Lord, any that survive, they see the table of the Lord prepared. It's too late for them. It is for you to enter into. Psalms 91 is the third place. 1,000 shall fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it doesn't come near you. You got Exodus, you got Psalm 23, Psalms 91. This is the year of great breakthrough for your life. It talks about in Psalm 91 the arrows that fly by night. Talk about pestilences that come in darkness. Nothing comes near you. And hallelujah, Psalm 91 talk about angels carrying you, lest you stumble. And this is a wonderful year that God has for us. Let us be prepared to not miss the great mighty tidal wave for blessings that He asks us to get on board. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we ask, Lord, that you establish us in your word. Establish us in your grace, O God. And we ask, O Father, even as we seek your face, that you continue to make us to be who you want us to be. Thank you, Father, for all that you are doing this year. And what a great year of change it will be. And what a wonderful year of breakthrough we will have. And we want to begin it, Lord, in your strength and by your power. We know all this is not of our own. It's because we are fulfilling a destiny. We thank you, Father, that you have chosen us to fulfill your destiny. We give you all glory, worship, and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all rise together. Lift your hands up as once again we dedicate each one of you to the Lord. If you're fasting, lift up your hands high. And we're going to pray for God to establish His work in your life. Father, we begin this wonderful day of fast. How wonderful that it begins on a Sunday, Lord. And each one of us seek you in our own way. And we know how important it is to seek you, Lord. How important it is to dedicate ourselves to you. And we do that with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, all our strength. Father, we can see the coming revival. We can see the coming blessings. We can see the rain clouds forming like Elijah even before the rest of Israel see. We see, O God, the revival waves. And Father, we position ourselves ready to receive them. While there's fear and trembling all around, while there are troubles all around, while there's darkness all around, we have you as our pillar of cloud and our pillar of light. We thank you, Father. In this day, Lord, we continue to dedicate ourselves to you, to seek your face. Strengthen each one of us who are fasting 40 days in our own various ways. And help us this year, Lord, as we consecrate this year to you, to be a mighty, mighty year of breakthrough. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.